the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss the topic of planning for fly control on pastured cattle. And to have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Dave Boxler, who's an entomologist and Nebraska Extension educator based at the West Central Research and Extension Center. Thanks for joining me today, Dave.
Good morning, Aaron.
Well, Dave, as we record this podcast, we're sitting here in early May, and many producers are getting ready to turn cattle out to pasture, or in some cases already have. One of the issues that producers sometimes think about as they're turning cattle out is fly control. And I'd just like to give you the opportunity to give us some perspective on what are some things you encourage producers to think through if they're looking at different fly control options?
Certainly. I know that the weather has been a really difficult issue to deal with because we've had very warm temperatures and we've also had some very cold temperatures. And I think that we may see some more of the cold temperatures as we move forward, which actually affects pasture fly development. So we may not see our pasture flies, you know, on cattle for another week or two, depending upon where you're located. Now, certainly in southeast Nebraska, where temperatures are more consistent, we're starting to see horn fly numbers there already. But out here in the west, I think we've got some time yet. One thing about going to pasture early, if you're going to try to use insecticide ear tags, it would be great to withhold applying those tags until the end of May. Once you apply those tags, say the first week of May, they're releasing product. And as we move through the month of June and into July, by mid-July, the product will be pretty much exhausted. So you'll have to come back in with a second treatment methodology for horn fly control. If you're using back rubbers, you can put them out now and let your animals acclimate to them. Dust bags, very few people in Nebraska use dust bags anymore, at least out in the west, but you could also put your dust bags up and let the animals acclimate to those also. If you plan on pouring your cattle as you send them to pasture, you may not get a huge amount of effect now because we don't really have a very high population of horn flies. Here again, delaying that application would be beneficial. Spraying, I'd certainly delay that. Now, if you're going to be using a mineral or a salt feed through an IGR, an insect growth regulator, something like Altocid, you need to get that out 30 days prior to the presence of flies. So now is the time to get that out into the pastures if you have chosen to go with a product like Methaprene or something like Clarifly. It needs to get into the animal system and into the manure. So the label recommendations are 30 days prior to seeing the fly population. So those certainly are very timely right now. I think that if you are going to be using a pour-on through the summer, you need to remember that a pour-on only is going to provide about 28 days of control. So repeated applications are important. I would encourage people who want to use an endectocide, something like Ivomec, generic Ivomec, whatever, to kind of hold back the applications from late May through September if you want to encourage dung beetle activity. Those insecticides do have a negative impact on dung beetle populations, so keep that in mind. Select something like a pyrethroid to use as a pour-on. Spray, certainly, I would wait until you start to see fly numbers approaching 200 to 300. That's when you need to go out there and spray, and you're going to have to do that probably every 10 to 12 days, depending upon the product that you select. Now, we do have some issues if you select something, a control product like Coral or Prolate, which is a spray. And if you're trying to spray cow calves, and especially if the calves are younger than 3 months, those two products should not be applied. So you should use something like a permethrin for that spray application. After the calves are older than 3 months, you can go in and rotate to something like Prolate or Corral. So keep that in mind. There is a new product available for producer use, and it just came out a couple of months ago, and that is a bolus that has the active ingredient methoprene. And it is a fairly long-lasting bolus, 195 days of activity, which is essentially 6.5 months. So if you apply that now, you can get fly control well into the end of September. So that's something to consider, especially if you can't go back in and make another application using a different type of control product. A bolus may be something to consider. One thing that we have to be mindful of when we're using this type of insect growth regulator, whether it is a bolus or if it's a feed-through, is that these types of products have no effect on adult flies. So be mindful of that. We can get fly immigration from your neighbors. Flies will move. You can see adult horned flies on your cattle, and that usually means you have fly immigration occurring. So just be mindful that that's one of the side issues when using a feed through or a bolus of this nature. One thing that was on the minds of a lot of producers last year was stable flies on pasture cattle. I entertain calls from the Kansas border all the way up to South Dakota in western Nebraska last year, people wanting to know, what's causing my cattle to bunch in the corners of pastures? And some people, especially in the southern regions of our state, had never had that problem before. And it was all as a result of all the moisture that we received in the month of May and in June. During the winter of 2023, we fed a lot of hay. It was a difficult winter. And when you're feeding hay, especially in a ring, there's a lot of waste that gets scattered about around the outside of that ring. Well, with cattle defecating and urinating in that area, and then you add the missing ingredient moisture, you have created the ideal situation for stable fly development. And that's what happened for many producers last year. Stable flies are great flyers that can fly great distances in a very short period of time. So there could be a strong chance that the flies that you saw on your cattle, the stable flies, probably originated from some other location. But we have also developed a methodology to kind of preserve our trails from blowouts and whatnot and washing away. And what a lot of producers have been doing over the last few years is taking the spent hay and whatnot around the home place, the barn and whatnot, and taking it out into the trails and packing that into those areas to keep them intact. Well, it's a good practice, but if we get moisture like we received last summer, it also creates a very, very nice area for stable fly development. And we've seen that a number of times on pastures here in western Nebraska. It all depends on what Mother Nature has in store for us this year. We may not see the moisture this year that we saw last year. If we don't have that bountiful moisture, I believe our stable fly populations in pastures are going to be much lower than last year. However, if we get moisture late in May and early June, we could see a repeat of that situation like 2023. The biggest problem with stable flies is that they feed very short periods of time. They do bunch the cattle in corners. That's a behavior that the cattle present. And it's something that you as a livestock producer should recognize, that once you see that those cattle bunched in the corners, there's a 95% chance it is caused by stable flies. The only a treatment that we have available right now that's somewhat effective is spraying the cattle. There are some things that you can do, especially if you have a windbreak in your pastures. The behavior of the stable fly is once they have fed or taken their blood meal, which usually takes between 2 and 5 minutes, they have to fly to a shaded area to digest that blood meal. And a windbreak is a perfect location for them to do that. So if you would go out in the mid-afternoon and just kind of listen and look into your windbreak, you could actually see the stableflies resting there. You could direct your spray application to that resting site and reduce the population significantly. Here again, using something like permethrin, you could use a natural pyrethrin to do that control application. So that's something to be mindful of. Stableflies are very impacting on pasture cattle. They could impact pasture cattle by 21% in a negative way, or it equates to about a loss of 0.44 pounds per day. And that's with a population, an average population of 3.6 flies per leg. Last year, I was seeing stablefly population numbers exceeding 35 to 50 flies per leg. So you can imagine the economic impact that was occurring on those cattle. Certainly, we want to reduce those populations, increase animal welfare, because the animals are really stressed when under heavy stablefly pressure.
Dave, as we think about folks with pasture cattle situation, you mentioned, you know, seeing those locations where the stablefly may be resting to consume that blood meal. Any recommendations from a management perspective on how we might try to treat pasture cattle in terms of spraying them?
Well, we have looked at a delivery system called a mist blower sprayer, and we looked at it over a three-year period to see if we could reduce not only the stablefly population, but also the hornfly population. And this is a device that you can get. There's different sizes. You can get them to be mounted onto a pickup. There's some that fit a side-by-side in the back. And you essentially take the sprayer out to where the cattle are. Now, some people will say, well, that's going to scare them. Well, yes and no, but what we tended to do was acclimate the animals to our presence by bringing out some range cubes. And over time, we got to the point where once we pulled up to the gate of the pasture, the cattle come running. They recognized that our presence certainly resulted in fewer flies. So that's a strategy that you could use. I know many livestock producers have a low pressure sprayer, you know, 15, 20 gallon that they can put in the back of their side-by-side or ATV. And you can actually go out there and accomplish the same type of spray application as you can with a mist blower type sprayer. It may take you a little bit longer, but I think what you want to do is you want to target the legs and the belly region of the animal. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially the first couple of times, but after about the fourth or fifth spray application, the cattle will calm down and will realize that you're not out there to hurt them, that you're out there to help them. And we've seen that in many situations. There are some traps that are available that we have worked with and are still working with. And one of them is called the nightstick trap. And it's made out of a piece of 4-inch PVC with a wrapping material that is coated with a special adhesive. And you could set something like that up close to where cattle gather or loaf or around a water tank, but you really have to protect that trap because cattle will play with it. But it is very, very effective in attracting stableflies. Most effectively, one of the best traps that I have ever seen. Unfortunately, it's only retailed through a website, and the website is called bugjammer.square.site. And that's something that producers might be interested in searching out. We've also are undertaking some additional studies looking at fly attractants to help enhance these types of traps. And so our work is ongoing currently, and we hope to find something that will make the trap even more appealing to the stable fly. It's a fly that is probably, in my estimation, the most damaging fly that we have out there on pasture cattle, because it takes so few to inflect a negative impact. And so we're looking at a lot of different strategies. It may take multiple methods of control to accomplish our goal, but it's something we really need to work on. And especially as we see our weather patterns change, that certainly is a major player in the population of flies that we see, not only with the stable fly, but also with face fly and certainly the horn fly. Those are issues that will probably continue to change.
Dave, we've talked in the past, and one of the things you really emphasize that I appreciate is thinking about the different types of products you're using, thinking about the modes of action. Touch base with us again, just on the importance of rotating modes of action, thinking about that as you consider what product you're going to apply.
Yes, there is a labeling system that has been developed for all pesticides in the United States, and each product receives a category number. So all you have to do, or a group number, I should say, all you have to do is look at the product that you're going to be using, and it should have a number listed on there. So what you want to do is write that number down, and then the next time you use a spray, you want to go to a different numbered product. And that's the easiest way to remember to use a rotational system to manage resistance. The biggest issue that we have currently in ectoparasite control is the fact that we have so few modes of actions. And when I speak of modes of actions, that means how the product actually kills the fly. We really haven't had any new modes of actions developed for our area of ectoparasites for a long time. And it's showing, because we're seeing resistance building in a lot of different ectoparasites. And so we have to manage resistance the best way we can, and that's by rotating to different modes of actions or chemistries on how they actually kill a fly or an insect.
Well, Dave, I think that brings up then, you know, what are there other options? Are there some natural products? Are there some traps? You mentioned the sticky traps. Are there any other options as we think about fly control on pastured cattle?
Well, there certainly, this has gone back a long time, but there was a gentleman back in the 1930s down in Missouri that developed a trap, a walk-through fly trap called the Bruce walk-through fly trap. And there's a lot of interest in that trap today on a national level. There are people that want to kind of shy away from using control products and want to raise their cattle naturally. This is a way to do it. You can approximately reduce your horn fly population by about 50%, which in some cases is pretty good. It requires making a pinch point, where essentially you place this trap in an area where the cattle have to walk through this trap to get to, say, water or mineral. Free choice use of this trap is not going to work. So it's going to create kind of an alleyway. And quite honestly, I have had, or have received, inquiries from people across the United States, which tells me there's a lot of interest in this style of trap. Now, it may not work in all areas. Certainly, you have to be very watchful in the sand hills so you don't cause a blowout. And I know I can understand that. But in other regions where you've got more solid ground, this might be something that you could utilize. And if anybody is interested in getting the blueprints and an article on how this trap works, they certainly can contact me, 308-696-6721, or by email at dboxler1.unl.edu, and I'd be glad to send them the blueprints. Now, We also talked about using natural products. We've looked at a number of natural products over the last few years. One that I've worked with for about 20 years is a product that is comprised of fatty acids, middle chain fatty acids. We finished up about a year ago, we finished up a two-year study looking at a formulation that would be approved for organic producers. And we have submitted the data set to EPA for labeling. And unfortunately, we haven't heard back from them, but it is a product that is super safe to the environment, to the animal, and to the applicator. And it inflicts mortality very quickly. I did my studies using an automated cattle sprayer. And once the animal got sprayed, 30 seconds later, you could see dead horn flies on the top line. It happened that quickly. So residual activity is probably going to be 3 to 4 days. And truthfully, some of the products that we're using today that have been labeled for a long time, their residual activity is about 4 days in length at the maximum. So it's not too bad. Gone are the days where we see residual activity 4 weeks. Those products are not going to be on available. We did look at garlic a number of years, be it a powdered garlic form delivered either through mineral or salt in a free choice situation. My studies really didn't see a major impact on horn fly numbers. Other people have indicated that they are quite happy with the results, and that's fine. I will, in fact, I am undertaking a study this year looking at an aqueous form of garlic, and this is going to be applied through our automated cattle sprayers. So I want to see what the effect of this product will be. There's only been one study conducted, it, and that was done in Africa a few years ago, where they looked at two different tick species, and the higher doses of garlic actually killed the tick species in question, and the lower doses repelled them. So we're going to undertake that study here starting around the 1st of June. So it'll be interesting to see what the effects of a water-based garlic will have on horn fly, as well as stable fly and face fly numbers.
Well, Dave, that's really interesting. I think, you know, as we continue to look at common insecticides, efficacy being reduced, looking at other options. And then I think just also as we think about the clientele that we're delivering beef products to, there is a segment of the population that having animals raised without insecticides is very important to. And so having those options available, or at least knowing what those options are and how they might be applied, I think really has value.
I do. And I think we're seeing more and more livestock producers wanting to raise their cattle using safer products. And I think you're seeing that idea spread across the country. I was quite taken by the number of requests that I had regarding that walkthrough fly trap. There are people out there that are interested in trying to control flies in a more natural way or a safer way. And, you know, I commend the producers who want to do that.
Dave, anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
Well, I do always like to emphasize this after every discussion, is that please, if you are using a control product for fly control, please read and follow the label directions. It's very, very important for getting the maximum effect from your control product and for safety issues.
Well, Dave, thanks for your time today. Thanks for the research you do. I just really appreciate the applied approach, your understanding of producers' needs, and thinking about how can we provide products to find ways to control flies. So again, thanks for your work. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Well, for more information on the topics that were discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, I would point you to beef.unl.edu. At the website, there are a number of articles that Dave Boxler's written. And so if you want to put his name in the search engine there, or just put in fly control, a number of the topics we discussed today, there's products listed, there's mode of action listed there as well. More details on some of the different things we discussed in terms of differences between back rubs, pour-ons, just different various fly controls. So I would encourage you to check out, again, the articles at beef.unl.edu.